Are you ready to take control of your physical, emotional, spiritual, professional, and financial health? Are you ready to experience great success in your life? Each week, join Dr. Diane A. Thompson and her guests for tools and strategies to help you take control of your health and inspire you to live your best life. Now here is your host, Dr. Diane A. Thompson.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of Health Talk with Dr. Diane, MD. This is a show that's designed to inform and inspire you to a healthier lifestyle. I am your host, Diane A. Thompson, MD, and as always, it is my pleasure spending time with you on this broadcast with the hope that perhaps you will learn something, something that will take your health and your life to a higher level. We have a wonderful, wonderful show for you today. I do want to remind you that the information in this broadcast is for educational purposes only. No part of this broadcast should be used for diagnosis or treatment, and you should always contact your healthcare provider before making any changes to your health, and that goes for anything you listen to, really. As I said to you, I'm just so excited about having my guest on today, and I'll share with you a little bit later why, because we actually do have something in common. Now, we know that everyone faces adversities and challenges. You know, these are normal things that happen in life. Some people face these trials and tribulations, and they come out stronger, wiser, and better. And then you have other people, they face the same situations and they simply are overcome by it. They end up bitter and angry and resentful. Well, my guest today is convinced that if you pay attention to the life of Joseph, you may learn life lessons that can lead you to a successful you. The author's name is Hugh Rowe, and he is the founder and president of Hugh Rowe Associates. This is an organization dedicated to providing biblical lessons and tools for a successful and significant life in any economy. Hugh is the author of Joseph's Memoirs, Life Lessons for a Successful You. And as I said to you before, I'm very excited about having him on the show. Hugh, welcome to Health Talk.
Thank you, Dr. Thompson. Thank you very, very much. I am excited to be on your show. I have been a listener, a reader of your blogs on Facebook, and a faithful follower.
I really appreciate that. I really do appreciate that, and I hope some of the information that I'm sharing is helpful. And definitely your book actually sat and read it, and it's really, I'm so glad we get a chance to discuss it today. Can you just share with our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. Born in the one wonderful island of Jamaica in the West Indies. When I was growing up, I was involved in a number of small fights. not because I was a bad student or anything like that, but I was picked upon because I had a speech problem. I stuttered, mm-hmm. and so my classmates saw it as something to mess with me, and they would joke and laugh, and they would mock me, and of course I would get upset and chase after them and fight them. But I had a wonderful bigger brother, and as a matter of fact, I am the 11th of 11 children, so we had a big family, and my bigger brother, one of my bigger brothers actually sat me down, and he gave me a wonderful piece of advice. He said, "Hugh, it is easier, and it would be better if you laugh with them than if you fight them." And I said to him, "Why?" Because he said, "If you continue to fight them, then you are empowering them. But if you laugh at them, then you are empowering yourself. And what you will realize in the end is that both of you will have something to laugh about. But the power will be yours as you as in laughing with them, you're taking the power from them and empowering yourself. And so from that point on, I must tell you, it was a struggle to begin with. I took his advice and did exactly what he said, and it worked. It worked, and so I slowly began to realize that it is always good to empower yourself by doing what is positive, than empowering others by doing what is negative. And so, as life went on, my first speaking engagement was in front of a large crowd of over 400 people, and I got up to speak, and my mind sat back down. And what those people did, they burst out in laughter. And
Aww.
it was at a church, of all places.
Oh no.
It was at a church. And so for a young person at the age of 11 to have that experience at his first public speaking engagement, of course that would have scarred him for life. But instead, what it did was for some odd reason, it made me stronger. And the words of my brother came back again. One day you will be laughing with me instead of laughing at me.
How old was your brother when he gave you this advice?
My brother then was, let me see. My brother then was almost 19.
That is amazing advice for a young person. I mean, it takes many people many years to figure that out. So that is really amazing, and to be able to instill that in you at such a young age. And I know when we first got on the call, you mentioned about your speech impediment, and I said to you, you know, there are listeners out there who maybe it's not a speech impediment, maybe it's something else, but they look to other people for inspiration, and if they see that you can get up and do it anyway, regardless of whatever you're going through, they think, you know what, maybe I can do it too. So I think it's wonderful that you didn't let any of that stop you and you decided to move forward anyway.
Absolutely. And just in case some of our listeners are wondering, was I like this or worse? The answer is I was worse than this. Having a conversation with you would feel the effect of my words by the water coming out of my mouth. Then you would feel the effect of the words by the power of the words itself. But one of the things that I did was I actually enrolled in music. And if you do the research, there are singers who stutter. And there are singers who sing but don't stutter when they are singing.
Mm-hmm.
And in realizing that, I studied the technique in singing and tried to implement those techniques in talking. And that improved, and that helped me to improve myself
You're
up to this
speaking.
Point now.
Wonderful.
Speaking,
wonderful.
Right.
And the same thing actually goes, we know when we do stroke rehab, there are people who, we say they're aphasia, they have difficulty saying the words, but they can actually sing it. And sometimes that's how, you know, part of the rehab. So for someone who's out there who has really bad stuttering, you know, who never knew this, so they just learned something. We haven't even gotten into your book, and they've learned something. So this is great.
Right.
All right. And we do have something in common. You want to share that?
Oh, yeah, sure. Diane and I, Dr. Thompson and I, we were actually in the same class in high school.
Now, don't say the year, because you'll age me. But
no, we are. We both attended the San Diego High School in the town of Spanish Town.
That's
Spanish
right.
Town,
wonderful memories there.
Wonderful memories of at San Diego. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's jump into your book.
Absolutely.
So the book is called Joseph's Memoir, Life Lessons for a Successful You. And so one of the things I wondered, you know, why do you think that Bible stories are still relevant today?
Well, let's take myself, for example. One of the things I've found out is that one of the great leaders in the Bible, Moses, actually had a speech problem. He stuttered. And the Bible actually didn't say that Moses stuttered. What the Bible said was that Moses was slow in speech. And so that meant that he stuttered. So that was relevant for me today to know that I can be a leader and have a speech problem if I allow God to use me the same way that he used Moses. And so to take it to today, there are a lot of individuals who are living a life of hopelessness, and their maker, and who is the author and the finisher of their faith, is God himself. And so what you have is a book that does not preach judgment and fire and brimstone, as a lot of people might think that's all that's in the Bible. But what it does is that it paints a picture of a loving parent who wrote instructions to his loving children to say, hey, because of what happened years ago in the Garden of Eden when your first parents were made or created, I had a plan, even though I had to separate myself from you. And so he left these instructions. And when you look at the past and going through my book, the life lessons of Joseph. In Joseph's time, what you had was a period of recession that a lot of people were not aware of. Now, in Joseph's time, the economy wasn't built on stocks and bonds and all that fun stuff. What it was built on is rainfall, because if there was no rain, then the livestock would die of hunger and thirst, because with a drought, there would be no wheat, no grass, nothing. And so in Joseph's time, there was a recession that lasted for 7 years. And Joseph was given a dream of that period to say, prepare for it. I need for you to prepare for 7 years. And when you're going through it, this is what I need for you to go through it. So when you fast forward to 2008, you had people who were richer when others were poorer. And the simple reason is, when you look at the research to look at what they did, it was in comparison to what Joseph instructed for Pharaoh and the people during his time to do. Because success, whether you know it or not, it is 80% mental, and the rest of it is physical. So you start being successful by thinking about it all the time, or most of the time. That's going back to the Bible again, relevance. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. When you look at the words of Napoleon Hill, for what the mind of man can conceive and believe, he can achieve. And so it's all relevant based on what happened then. And if you look at it and you compare and contrast, it is the same. As the wisest man, King Solomon, said, there is nothing new under the sun.
Now, you briefly talked about Joseph's story, but what is it, or what was it about him that you feel he was such a good instructor that you decided to write a book about his life lessons?
Well, for Joseph, he found himself in a state of depression, in that his own brothers sold him into slavery, And then he was bought, and his master made him the head of the household. And then when he thought that everything was going well, he was accused of a crime that he did not commit. And that crime was based on him standing up for his values, what he was taught, and what he believed in. And so he, for that reason, he was thrown into prison. And there, he didn't dwell on where he was. There, he dwelt on whose he was, who he belonged to. And it's not only that he remembered that he belonged to his father Jacob, but he kept in mind that he belonged to his creator, who is God himself. And he knew that what he was experiencing, God was only refining him for a purpose. And so when we find ourselves going through certain things and certain situations, don't look down or stay down, but try and look upwards, because it is there your strength lies and come from. And it is always a learning process. Life is a process, and it is only for us to stop, and as the song says, to smell the roses, and to reflect, and to have that mentality to say, I'm going through the process. What do I need to learn? What do I need to learn? And in due time, it will come to you. It never fails.
And it's true. It's really about the lessons. I definitely now embrace the idea that whenever disappointments come, no matter what they are, maybe I'll take a moment to go through whatever it is I'm going through, but when I'm done, I definitely want to know, what is it I was supposed to learn? What, you know, why did I go through this? How does this make me a better person? So you're right, it's really all about the lessons.
You're listening to Health Talk with Dr. Diane, MD, sponsored by FMG Radio. Please visit Dr. Diane and browse her past shows and guest bios at fmgradio.com/Dr. Diane, MD. That's DrDianeMD.
If you're just joining us, welcome to Health Talk with Dr. Diane, MD. We're talking with author Hugh Rowe, and Hugh's book is called Joseph's Memoirs, Life Lessons for a Successful You. Now, one of the things that you addressed in Chapter 3 of your book is the idea that we all have dreams and goals, and sometimes we need to protect those, protect ourselves from people who may want to talk us out of those dreams. I call those people dream stealers. Did Joseph's life shed any light on how we may protect ourselves from people who may steal our dreams and goals?
Well, yes. One of the errors he did, in hindsight, was because he was confused about what exactly is the meaning of my dreams. He told it to his brothers, and his brothers didn't like him. And so one of the lessons from that is, do not disclose your dreams to people you know don't like you. This time and age, the young people call them haters.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a dream, don't say, hey, I'm going to tell these people anyway, because I want them to feel jealous. No, because their reaction to your word might discourage you instead of encourage you. And so share your dreams to individuals whom you're sure are willing to help you. This is where building a network of individuals who are lifelong teachers and mentors come in. Because when you look at life, the most successful people in life, they are always among two people or individuals who are willing to help them. They don't even have to charge. And that's how you find out who your friends are. You watch the show The Apprentice, and you'll see the contestants are calling their friends, and you'll see them come in one by one to lend their support. They don't even have to beg them for help. All they do is make a phone call and ask. And so these are some of the criteria that you use to know who your friends are. You don't have to beg for anything. All you simply do is ask, hey, I have this idea. Can I share it with you? Yeah. Do you think it will work? Well, to be honest with you, it's the first time I'm seeing it this way. Have you ever tried this or do this? And your friends will ask you questions to empower the idea. They will not ask you questions to discourage you from pursuing the idea.
One of the important lessons in any successful life, I believe, is the ability to manage forgiveness. It's something, by the way, that I had to work on. And that's something you covered in your book. What lessons did Joseph's life teach us about forgiveness?
One of the things is that, well, it's actually two. It's about, one, being able to let go, and being, two, in letting go, down the process of self-preservation occurs. Because if you can compare unforgiveness to poison, the more you dwell on the incident or the person who did you wrong or wronged you, the worse you become. So it's like, for example, you being bitten by a snake. If you say ouch and you chase after the snake, what you're doing is that you're giving the poison time to circulate in your body. That's not healthy or doing you good, because at that point you're slowly dying because of the poison or the venom. And by the time you catch up to the snake had no idea what it did wrong in any case.
Isn't that always the case? You're so mad with the person, you walk around with this mad and being angry for years, and they see you and they have no clue. So you were the only one walking around mad, and they were totally fine.
they're totally fine.
Yeah.
And all you have built up is all this stress, and stress is one of the main causes of all these diseases. So if you had taken the time to go and seek help, and help in this case is just go and talk it out, then everything after time would fall into place. Because there it is that Joseph, once his brothers came back to him and he realized that, hey, it was a fulfillment of my dream, he himself let it go. He forgot totally about it. But his brothers didn't. So he was living his life, doing his thing, until his brothers came back to him after his father died in fear. And he was there saying to them, hey, I thought you had forgotten about it. Don't worry about it. It is okay. So Moses was so Joseph was happy going about his business. And so it preserved him. It kept him happy. It allowed him to live his life, and it made him into a better person in the end.
Wonderful. Now, I always love to ask my guests for a tip of the week. What is the most important lesson that we should take from this book? What lesson can we implement in our lives right away?
The lesson is to become a lifelong learner. Never stop learning. And in doing that, ensure you enroll in the right courses. So as you don't wish to be happy, and you enroll in Happiness 101, and not ensuring that you look on what is the prerequisites for enrolling in Happiness 101. And so you find yourself majoring in the minor things in life. Don't get distracted and instead of enrolling in the course Happiness 101, you enroll in Waste of Time 102. Because in the end, you will either earn the reward or you will suffer the consequences. Ensure that you are a lifelong learner and always focus on what you're learning.
That's very sage advice, Hugh. So, Hugh, where can our listeners get your book?
The book is available on a link on my website or at authorhouse.com, who is the publisher, on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, or you can go to your favorite bookstore and ask them for it, or your library.
And if they don't have it, tell them that you want them to order it.
tell demand that you want.
That's right.
Say, hey, Hugh's book is one of those books that is one of the greatest books out there in self-development and Christian reading, and if you don't have it, then you're losing something.
That's right.
Well,
and of course, our listeners can find you at your website at hughroll.com.
I'm actually on a life goal to touch the lives of a million people for the next 12 months. And that cannot be done with only you simply buying the book and read it. It comes only through you buying the book, read it, and taking action. Because faith without works or activity gets you nowhere.
That's right.
So you have to take action. So when you take action and you have seen the changes in your life, send me an email. Go to my Facebook page, hit like, and say, Hugh, this is what has happened to me since I have read your book.
If they're touched by it and they change your life, someone else who's looking on can be impacted by that too. You know, so, yeah, buy the book, read it, make the changes in your life, and you can also affect someone else's life in a positive way.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Dr.
Yes. Well, I thank you so very much for coming on the show. You're such an inspiration, and I encourage you to keep up the good work. I hope many, many people will read the book and learn these life lessons. The book, again, is called Joseph's Memoirs, Life Lessons for a Successful You, and it's written by Hugh Rowe. So I encourage you to go out there and get that book and take action. Thank you again so much, Hugh, for coming on the show.
You're most welcome, and thank you for having me, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in.
Take good care.
Okay.
So again, that was author Hugh Rowe, and his book is Joseph's Memoirs, Life Lessons for a Successful You. And I hope you go out there and get the book. Lots of wonderful life lessons. So this brings us to the end of this show for this week. Please join us again next week for another informative show. As always, I appreciate you joining me. I know that you could be anywhere else, so I appreciate that you chose to share your time with me. I also want to remind you, as I tell you every week, your health is your wealth. Many times we don't think about it until it's too late, until we've lost that health. So go out there and do something healthy. There's so many things you could do. Do one thing this week. Cut back on the calories. Add some more fruits and vegetables. Start moving. If you smoke, cut back on the smoking. Get in touch with your spiritual side. Pick up the habit of forgiveness. You saw, as Hugh mentioned, forgiveness is an important thing to a successful life. So there's so many, many things you can do to get yourself to a healthy place. Just choose one and do it this week. And I'm also going to share with you a quote that I saw this week. I love things that are simple yet profound. And the quote says, "Life begins at the end of your comfort zone." So I want you to think about that for the rest of the week and see what that means for you. And I look forward to seeing you next week on the broadcast. And as always, take good care of yourself. Until I see you next week. Take care, everyone.
You've been listening to Health Talk with Dr. Diane, MD. For show replays and full guest bios, please be sure to visit fmgradio.com/Dr. Diane, MD. That's DrDianeMD.